Welcome to Jessica Massey on the podcast. This is the Money Love Affair series. My name's Jess. I am your host. I am a woman's empowerment coach, spiritual business mentor, wealth coach, and manifestation queen. And we are here to talk all things money, to help you expand your relationship with money, and to talk about it in a way that you have never heard of us spoken about before. This is where we do things differently. I'm so excited to have you here. Now buckle up, sit back, and enjoy the journey. Welcome to this episode of the podcast. I am super excited because today we've got the phenomenal Amy Mingan on today to discuss her relationship with money. Hey, Amy, how are you?
I'm great, Jess. How are you?
I'm amazing. I'm super excited about this. Super excited. So, Amy, you are Australia's leading health practitioner, right? You are a business coach and you have a pretty successful business. You've done the journey, you've climbed the mountains, and I mean, you're sitting pretty well at the top, right? From my perspective, anyway.
Yeah. I've climbed many mountains and I've done many journeys. Absolutely. And it's through lots of different ways in business, I would say, of where the journey and relationship of money has really begun and continues to go. Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so excited. So before we get straight into it, I would love to know, where would you rate your relationship with money 1 to 10? 1 being like you just had a breakup and it's terrible, and 10 being you're in love and it's amazing and perfect honeymoon.
Yeah, I would put it as 9. And the reason why it's 9 is there's always room for improvement. There's always room for growth that way.
Yeah, I love that. Like, that actually is such a great perspective, because there's not, I think everyone aims for 10 and there is no 10 to reach, because there is always more.
There is always more. And that's the abundance mindset, right? So like someone could have heard that and been like, oh, well, 9, that is that like the consistency of like, then you're never actually satisfied? Or is it that you're satisfied and there's always more? Like there's that essence of overflow when you're at 9 in my world. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, I love that. Now I'm going to be 9 forever. So what is your relationship with money like now? So what are you doing? What's the story? Tell us a bit about your relationship, where you've come from and where you're going. And we'll get into the other questions later.
Yeah, cool. Okay. So the relationship with money right now is great. And it's one of those ones where when I first was truly learning about money, it was actually pretty scary. Mm-hmm. Like when I first started my business, my relationship with money was like, I didn't really have a good handle on how to bring more money in. I didn't really have a handle on how to receive. There was a big aspect of it felt okay for me to pay somebody else for something, and yet when it came to somebody else paying me for something, it felt really weird. I'd discount a lot of things. I would feel really bad for taking the money off the person, even though I've helped them. There was like this whole big discount thing that I used to be in a real toxic relationship with money in the very beginning. And it used to like really grind my gears. And then one day I just got this overwhelming, like, do you know that if you continue doing that, that's the kids' swimming lesson. Do you know if you continue to do that, you're going to have to keep shopping at Kmart? Do you know that if you do that, you're not going to be able to go out for dinner for your anniversary? And there was this like, oh, well, the feeling of that is way worse than the feeling that I get when I'm discounting. So I'm just going to like stick to my guns and say the price, and that's the price, and be okay with it. And as soon as I drew that line in the sand, it was like, really uncomfortable, by the way. It was a whole new world for me, because I'd like the first time set a boundary around money, particularly in the way of receiving. And that I hadn't allowed myself to step out of that. It was just like, okay, this is how I'm doing it. This is how I have to do it from now on. I'm making the rule for myself and I'm going to stand by it. And I utilized my family in order to hold myself accountable. Because at that stage of my life, I really require that external validation, that external means in order to keep me on track. So there was that. And I'd always like, I'll go back even further than that, because that's me in the beginning of business. If I go back even further, when I was growing up, my dad is really, really great with money. But he's great in the way of money of like knowing how to save, knowing how to set a money goal and save, save, save. So that was really drummed into me. But the problem with that was that it made me look at his life and be like, he actually makes himself go without. He doesn't go and do fun things. He never goes out. I actually really like going out. And then I wouldn't say she was the polar opposite, but then my mom, so my parents split when I was young, right? And my mom was very much about like, live your life, make the most of your life. And she would still make sure that things were put in the right categories. And yet it seemed like she spent more. Because she liked to have nice things. She liked us to, like, if I wanted the Nike shoes to wear to school, she would buy me the Nike shoes to wear to school. Like, it's all the things. Like, I wanted the Billabong bag. I wanted to, like, look the way I wanted to look. And that was really important to me. So she made sure that that was cool. But then I'd go to my dad's and he's like, you don't need Nike shoes. He's like, what are you going away on another trip for? Like, I was quite elite level with playing hockey. And he'd go, I don't want to pay for another trip or another carnival or another plane. And for me, that was really important. And so there was this disparity of like feeling bad about money from a really young age. And it's like, well, I want all these things. I want to do all these things. And yet there was that guilt factor. And so I feel like the guilt factor had carried on with me into business, even though all of the rules that my dad had set around like save money, do all the like all of the good rules, like I'd taken that on, even though I kind of felt resistant to his lack of spending and lack of actual circulation of the money. So fast forward to me then as an adult, like I'd left home, every time I went to spend money, it was like my dad was in the back of my head going, do you really need that? Do you think that you really need that? And so it was like horrible. I would need groceries and I'd feel horrible buying groceries. We'd go to the farmer's market. So once I was with my husband, like we'd go to the farmer's markets and I would feel horrible. And I was like, how am I actually going to get past this? Like at that stage, we were double income with no kids. Like we actually had heaps of money, more than I'd ever had in my life. And yet I felt terrible.
Yeah.
And I had so, like, we were saving our whole wage and a bit. Like, we actually didn't even need that much money. We were so doing so great just in our jobs, right? And I felt horrible every time I went to tap the card, every time I put the cash into someone else's hand. And it was like, nah, this isn't okay. And yet I didn't know what to do about it.
Yep. That is so similar to my story as well. When I was saving like all the two houses, like I had so much money and was saving, and it feels like you're in abundance mindset, but you're totally right. If you don't feel good buying things and having experiences, then that's not abundance.
Totally. And I remember being overseas and like we'd saved the amount for going overseas. And even when we're overseas, I'm like still looking at the menu, like which is the cheapest option? And I was like, oh my God, like, come on. So I had this like great big dance happening inside of me every single time there was something to do with spending money. And for a period of time, I stopped. Like I then started to outsource it to my husband. I was like, I want to avoid it because it's not making me feel good. So I'd push it to him. I'm just like, can you just deal with it? So you pay the rent, you pay the electricity bill, you pay the phone bill, you do those things. And then I don't have to look at it. Then I won't feel bad. But then the problem with avoiding it is I never really learned how to manage it.
Yeah.
And so then I stayed in avoidance strategy until I got to my business, and then I couldn't ignore it anymore. So it's really, really cool because then I started actually going, okay, if I really want to do well in my business, I have to actually look at the numbers.
Yeah.
And I'd avoided it for like the first couple of years of business. And I was just like, would do the bare minimum to like get the receipts in and get the things ready just at tax time. I'd only ever touch numbers at tax time, just enough to get somebody to process it. And even in the beginning, I didn't even get an accountant to do it. I used to just do it myself because it was that easy. But then I got to the point where I was like, okay, enough's enough. I've got to get myself a bookkeeper. I've got to get myself an accountant. And the accountant actually kept me accountable. Like all these people I brought in so that it was less of me avoiding it, they would keep me accountable and they would say, okay, send in these things. What's the numbers for this? What's this about? Tell us more about that. And then they would make suggestions about things. So that was like on a practical level, but on an energetic level, I started realizing that the more I was noticing the numbers, the more I was making more informed choices. And the more I was noticing the numbers, the more I actually felt great about money. Yeah. And I was like, my whole life I'd felt guilty. I'd felt yuck. There was like this ickiness inside of me and that feeling bad for spending. And then as soon as I started actually making money in my business and actually feeling like I was changing people's lives and there was this reciprocation aspect happening, then I noticed the energetic exchange more and more. So then I got a little bit curious and I was like, okay, well, I'm going to like look into the spiritual things and like looked at the work of Gabby Bernstein, not that she's a money person, but she's more about manifestation. And I was looking at Denise Duffield Thomas and like read her books and did a lot of like money forgiveness work and looked into limiting beliefs and looked into the mindset around money. And I was like, right, now I'm starting to get it. It didn't change overnight though.
Yeah.
Like all it really showed me was like how bad things were in my head. And that was like, that was quite the journey, because what I realized is I had so much resistance around it. Like there's the thing that I want. How come I can't have the thing that I want? I was standing in front of it and I kept standing in front of it and I kept standing in front of it. And I didn't realize that I was the one standing in front of it. And I kept trying to go around and I kept trying to go under and over. And I'm like, how come I can't get around this? And it was like, I just kept standing in front of myself. I was getting my own way. And then I realized like just one day I was just like, I've tried so hard and it's like, I was really, really trying. And I had myself a mentor and I also had someone else who was in business who just used to jump on the calls with me. And he had suggested a few things one day and I was just like, I'm just so over it. Like I'd broken down in tears on a call with him. And he's just like, I actually think that you're just about to break through. And now is the time where a lot of people give up. But it's actually a time that you have to keep going. And it was the best piece of advice anyone gave me, because I then went, all right, if I've come this far, surely there's something else. And I just kept looking for evidence of, well, if somebody else in my industry can do that and see that many clients, surely I can. If someone in my industry can charge that much, surely I can. And I just started to find this little bit more belief, this little bit more, this little bit more. And what I found was it wasn't necessarily the work that I was doing on the money and with the money that actually made the change. It was the work I did on myself.
Mm-hmm.
It was the awareness piece of, oh, it was always me standing in my own way. It was actually no one else at all. It wasn't my past. It wasn't my parents. It wasn't any of that. All of those were put there so that I could learn it. So then now I can embody it. So then I know exactly where I'm at in my energetic field so that it becomes, like I said, this abundant overflow.
Yum. So where were you when you had that massive breakthrough that went, oh my God, I want to give up, but I need to keep going? Where were you in your business at that time?
So I was running my naturopathy clinic and it would have been a good 7 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was seeing just enough. Like I was in this process of only having just enough. So I had just enough to cover the bills, just enough to buy the kids, you know, like some little things, just enough to get a few pieces of clothing upgrades, just enough. But it was still that not enough as well. Like I was focusing on the not enough. I was focusing on the not good enough. I was focusing on the, but I really want the luxe life. I don't want to have to go and like stay in a cabin for my holiday. I want to go to the 5-star place, but there's no way at that stage of my life I could afford the $750 a night like I would probably very easily go and do now.
We've seen your helicopter rides and holidays, Amy. And it's so, so true that it's about both aspects, right? It's about believing in yourself, becoming, getting out of your way. And also, though, you did do the work. You got the accountants. You did the structure behind. And this is something that I speak so much into. It's you need both. Both is what actually leads to success, which you're standing there showing us right now.
Yeah, 100%. And in that stage of my life, like I was meditating every day. I was visualizing. I was doing the journaling. I was doing the rituals. Like I definitely had a very big spiritual practice around money and around what I wanted and who I want to be and all of the things. And it just takes time. Like It takes time to become who you actually are truly here to be. Like it actually takes time. And some people will be like, oh, where did that person come from? They're an overnight success. You go look at their background. There's always at least a few years of where they've had the hard knock life, where they've like pushed through different things, where they've had doors slammed in their faces, where they've had people say no to them, where, you know, like there's so much of that. So it's like where we live in this world of instant gratification, where it's a simple swipe left, swipe right, say yes, press the button on your phone. There's so much more that actually is here in real life, like so much more that's here in this earthly plane. Because I know there's a lot of people out there that are saying, move into the 5D, do the spiritual stuff, like call in the activations and the codes and all the things. And that's great. And I love it. And we actually need the really tangible things that people can actually do. That the embodiment piece is, particularly around money, the embodiment piece is what's been missing for a really long time.
Yeah. I completely agree. Completely agree. And that's what leads you to be here. And I love that you've said that so intellectually. And there's so many people, there's people from all walks of life listening right now, whether they are doing the grind, the 9 to 5, or they're fully in spiritual. And it's actually, you get to be both. You get to be both.
Yeah.
And so that's all great. What are your money goals now?
So my money goals, so it's funny because like money goals for me, do I set specific money goals is the question that I asked as soon as you said that. So I go more so for where is the purpose of my money? So I'll answer it in that way. So the purpose of my money now is to buy more property investments. So we're investing in commercial property right now. So there's a few of those on the go. So by the time we get to probably this time next year, there will be a few in our portfolio. So that's really what we're working towards. Then next year, I'm also planning on a European holiday, which is likely to be like a good 5-6 weeks. And, you know, when I talk about that to my husband, he's like, oh yeah, that could be like a 50 grand holiday. I'm like, yep. And it's a thing that I really, that feels really important to me. And so like, where more so than just, I remember when I used to be like, do the 10K month. It has to be the 10K month. Like that was a big thing for me when I was first jumping into entrepreneurialism. And then I didn't necessarily know how my life would change by having the 10K month. Like the actual purpose of that money at 10K didn't necessarily, it didn't necessarily land for me. Mm-hmm. Whereas these days it's like, great. Well, I want to do a launch. Like I want to do a 6-figure launch so that that can go straight towards that commercial property. I want to do a 50K offer so that that goes straight towards the European holiday. Yeah. And hey, does this sound really selfish? Possibly. Like I'm going to really like bring the monkey out of the cage and be like, hey, like I know that this is going to trigger some people. And what I want to say is if it triggers you, then that's perfect. Because it's actually probably showing you exactly what your body wants to work on. It's exactly what your nervous system is like. What the hell? Like, how is this even possible? And when I say, how is this possible? Of course, it's possible because it's in my field. Of course, it's possible because there's people out there who are multi-billionaires.
Yeah.
And like, I wonder how they live. So these are the things that I'm choosing to have money for a purpose. And I wonder what you're choosing to have money for a purpose. Like, it, does money just come and go? Does it just leak out of your bank account and you're like, meh, we'll get some more next week? Or is it really purposeful? Like, do you go, okay, here's my baseline. There's X amount of dollars coming in per week and that goes to this, 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 and this. And this is the thing that I'm really going for. And I guess that's the beauty of being a business owner. We create more. We're in creationary energy a lot. And that's what really like fuels the fire and keeps us moving forward.
Yeah.
And the people who only earn X amount of money per week, I wonder if you've considered other ways of how you can earn more money, how you can create more money, how you can receive more money, because there's always more. This is the thing.
Limitless.
There are so many more. There's more clients. There's more opportunities. There's more potential. There's more creations. There's more inventions. There's always, always more ideas.
Mm.
All that those things are waiting on is the action in order to bring them to fruition.
Yes.
So it definitely is available to you, and it's about whether you take action on them.
Yeah. Oh, yes. And something you channeled this through earlier, and it's actually, you so tuned into what I'm creating in my world with my clients in the course of the importance of not avoiding it.
Yeah.
So through you saying it has intention, you need to know it. Like, avoidance of money will lead to failure. It absolutely will. So if you're not looking at it, if you're avoiding it, if you're giving it to somebody else to handle and you have no idea of where specifically it's going, like, it's just going to go.
Yeah. And it does. And it's like, if you want to send, if you're a mom and you want to send your kids to a private school, like that's a certain expense, particularly if you've got multiple kids. Like, I've got a friend who's got four kids. And it's like, if she sent them all to a private school, it'd be like a good 50K per year. Like, it's a phenomenal amount of money. And parents are willing to do this because they want to give their kids opportunity. Mm-hmm. So like, if you're willing to do it for your kids, then for what purpose would you hold yourself back for yourself?
Yeah.
Like, fill your own cup. Like, what is it? Like, tune right into what is it that will make you happy? What do you wish to experience? If you haven't figured that out yet, then start trying things.
Yeah.
Like, there's a whole big world out there, and there's so many things you can do for free. There's so many things you can do for low cost, and there's so many things that you can do for a higher cost. And all of it is actually really available to you. So go out and actually do something new, because that's going to open up the next opportunity.
Mm-hmm. That's so awesome. And that's so great tangible tips for everyone to take home with them. And I really love that you've honed that message in for everybody listening, because you can actually take the steps to change. You truly can. And that piece on selfishness, you know, it's so true, because how many people can see you and I living the dream lives and go, oh, that's selfish. Whereas actually, when you, and you and I both know this, that when you take care of yourself, you can give more. Like, when you are happy, you can give more and provide more. And that is what anchors. Oh, it came back to me. What was I was going to say is, I love that you touched on the children aspect, because I don't have children yet. And I know there are many of my listeners and people that don't have children yet that maybe do want them. Are you thinking about how much it's actually going to cost to have kids and to have them live a life that you know that they will flourish in? Because it's a lot of money.
Yeah.
And to pretend that it's not is just so limiting to their life, to your life, to your future. It's all about preparing now. And that does require discipline. It requires discipline now to go, I'm preparing for so much abundance in the future, which is a lot of the work that I have done and I teach and I share. And you saying that just really solidified that. And I hope that landed for everyone that's probably been thinking of that. Actually, it's real and it requires a lot.
Yeah, 100%. It really does. And also, like, a caveat to that, to hold the other end of the spectrum for a moment, some people will stop themselves from having kids because they want to wait till they've got enough money, or they want to wait till they've, you know, till they're ready. And the best time to start anything is actually now, because everything realigns with your new decision.
Mm-hmm.
There's actually no such thing as a bad decision. There's no such thing as a wrong decision. Yes, there are some decisions that could be made that could be more in your favor at certain times of life. Yes. And make the decision. If you want to have kids and you're in a position, you've got the partner and things feel great with your partner, and you're in a position to have kids and you want them, go and do it. Like, you can travel with kids. People will tell me, but I want to travel. Travel with your kids. Like, there are so many things available to you that people just, like, again, they stand in their own way and they stop themselves.
Like, I will do this when I have this.
Yes. So for what purpose are you waiting?
Yeah.
Because otherwise you're always going to be waiting. Like, if you project yourself out right now, like, literally close your eyes and imagine yourself a year, 5 years, 10 years into the future, and notice what's there and who is there, and now come back to now. Like, every single thing that you did today, is that in alignment with that dream? Is that in alignment with that picture? If not, make a new decision. Take a new action. That's the most important thing that you could be doing at any one stage, is like, okay, I've got my vision of the future. Who am I right now so that I can become that? Bring the picture closer to you so you can actually step into it. It happens a lot faster than what you could ever imagine.
Yes, it absolutely freaking does. And it starts just by taking one step, right? It's just bringing the picture close and doing one thing today that will lead you to that picture, because it's all already here. I'm so absorbed right now in the timelines and the possibility that it's all actually already happening right now. So if right now you're acting in alignment with that version of you, it's actually already happened.
That's it. That's exactly right. Like, I'm a huge believer in like that whole time space continuum. So it'll show like my nerdiness here of like Star Trek.
I didn't know this about you. That's so funny.
Yeah, no, it's great. So the whole concept of time, it's a construct. Like, it's a concept and it's being created, and it's very helpful for us to live in this 3D reality. And yet anything that we can remember, we can relive right now in this moment. Anything that we can imagine, we can live right now in this moment. So technically, there is no such thing as time. So what if you then reprogrammed your mind to believe that the future is happening now? Because that's all you're actually doing. If you bring that anticipation energy into it, imagine what happens. Like, of course that person's going to pay me. Of course I get to drive the car that I want to drive. Of course that person pulls out of that car park and I get the rockstar car park. Of course that person smiles at me because I'm happy. All the different things. These are all different versions of abundance.
Yes.
Of course my fridge is full of fresh, amazing food. Of course my clothing on my clothesline looks amazing and smells amazing. Like, there's so many different ways that you can tune into feeling great. And so therefore it brings an expectation of greatness in your life. Your nervous system is reprogrammed to greatness. So what exactly happens then? Your life becomes great.
I'm still actually with that picture of you looking out in your garden at the laundry on the washing line with the flowers everywhere. I fully went there.
It's actually so great. I love fresh clothes being hung on a clothesline. I also really love when all the clothes are folded and put away and there's no mountain of clothes in the clothes basket. It's the simple things. Like, that's actually where the magic is in our life. It's in these little tiny daily tasks. Like, are you actually being truly present with all of these things and how great your life is?
Mm-hmm.
That you actually get to do this. Like, do you feel healthy and do you feel well? And are you actually being like, wow, my body is amazing? Do you do that every day? Like, how often are you noticing your feet? Your feet carry you everywhere. And yet very few people pay attention to their feet. Like, how many things has your hands touched today? Like, we're actually walking miracles. If you start to bring in that miracle energy, guess what happens?
It becomes created, right?
Exactly.
If you just believe, if you believe in the magic right now, all you will see is magic.
That's it.
Like, what we see is what we create, right? You're actually stating that right now. If you tune inwards and see it all already, you will just continue to see that just created over and over and over again.
Exactly. And someone I know, I can hear them now. They're like, but my life isn't like that yet. That is okay. It takes time. A lot of the time it takes time. Keep stepping into the picture that you want. Otherwise, what you keep doing, it's like you're driving a car, right? And you're in the car that you really want to be in the car that you want to be in. In the back, you sit fear, because fear is going to be there. When you're going out of your comfort zone, there will be fear. So you just sit fear in the back, and you're driving along in your car, and it's a beautiful day, and out the front window, that front windscreen is your future, and you are driving towards your future.
Yeah.
If you glance into the rear vision mirror, that's where the old life is. How often do you actually really need to look in the rear vision mirror, though? So my suggestion is just jump in your car each day and drive towards the future. You're already in the driver's seat. You might as well make it great, right?
Yes. Oh, and I want to hone this all back in and wrap it up, because it may sound like we're going off track. It may sound like we're speaking about all of these things that aren't related to money. And I wonder if you can see that it is actually the outcome of the positive relationship, of you building that relationship, of you overcoming that hurdle that has allowed this possibility of future to be created right now. These are the conversations that happen once you bring awareness to money, once you bring awareness to your problems, once you do the hard thing, as you said. I love that you said that, where you had that moment where I'm just going to give up. This is too hard. To push through that are these levels of conversations, of these openness of possibilities. So I just wanted to bring that in and install that for everyone that's listening.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's so, so important to hear something and then show action on it.
Yes.
And take from it what you will. Like, there's going to be different levels of conversation where people will hear different things.
Yes.
And it's absolutely perfect exactly where you're at.
Yeah.
So be super accepting of yourself. Be super loving to yourself. Like, imagine how you would treat your three-year-old self right now. And like, what would you teach them? What would you teach them from this episode? And sit with them and be with them and be like, okay, this is actually how we're going to do money now.
Yeah.
Take them on the journey. Because if you can bring that love into the picture, like if you're truly loving yourself, then everything actually is always going to be okay.
Yeah.
That's the big thing. People will go into survival. They'll go into scarcity. They go into all these other versions of emotion. And really what they get to discover is their true self. Once they let go of all of the stuff that's been holding them back, they do realize that they can have a great relationship with money, that they can have a great relationship with themselves, and it'll often go hand in hand.
Yes. And it absolutely is all about love. It's
yep.
all about love, which is why I love talking about this. That's my thing. So, Amy, I'd love to get back to your story, your journey. So was there a moment where you felt that your relationship got rocky, where it's an event or something that you could think of right now where made you go, oh, this is hurting our relationship right now?
So I was working with a mentor and she tuned into my weirdness about money and she got me to personify money. And she's like, all right, so if money was a person, what would money look like? And I realize everyone's listening, but like, I'm standing here like with my arms folded in front of my chest like a tough guy. So that's what money looked like this security guard. And I was like, oh gosh. And she's like, okay, so that's a fairly great depiction of what's happening. Like, you want to start making a relationship with money, and yet money's kind of got its arms crossed at you. So what are you going to do to start relating to money more? And I was like, oh, that's a really great way. And bit by bit, each day in my meditation, I would go and visit money. And, you know, I'd go up and tap him on the shoulder. I'd go up and like try and jump in front of him. So, and in the beginning, there was nothing. I got nothing. He was like stonewalled me. But over time, like if I were to tune into it now, he's like a flamenco dancer with me, like this super hot Spanish looking guy with his shirt off. Like it's amazing. And I dance and we dance really amazingly well together. And that's how I would describe it, like that. But at that point, I was like, oh no, like, gosh, I don't even know what to do. I had no clue, because I only knew what I knew. Like, I didn't know what I didn't know. And this particular mentor just took me through like a bit of a story so that I could get to know myself, because at the end of the day, it is a relationship with myself. I was stonewalling myself. I was standing in front of myself. So then once I got to know money more and I started to go, okay, I know how to work with you. I know how to dance with you. I know how to like go through the peaks and trough of business and have more trust. Like, that's actually the change point for me. It wasn't like, it didn't come through like just having resistance and sitting in the resistance for a really long time. It actually came from, and I would say the biggest thing that I've learned is it's about surrender.
Yeah.
So whilst I was resisting for a while, then I realized that the resistance just builds more resistance. And I just kept getting more and more upset about it. And I kept focusing on being upset about it and kept going round and round in circles. But to let go of the resistance and then surrender actually allowed the space to become into receivership. And then the receiving started to occur. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is actually way easier than I made it out to be. Like, I was way overcomplicating things. I'd made up so many silly stories to myself and would talk so meanly to myself.
Yeah.
And tried to prove myself in so many other ways. And yet all I really needed to do was to surrender and allow the simplicity to come in. I set up some really simple ways.
Yeah.
And whether this is going to be helpful for people or not, like this will be helpful for the people who actually are in probably more like service-based businesses. Like I got this picture of myself where when I was on a good day, I would have a neon light for my business. Like the light it's saying it's flashing open. And this is metaphorically, by the way. The neon light would be saying open for business. And on those days, I felt really great. And then I noticed that on the days where I didn't feel great about money or I didn't feel great about clients or I just energetically wasn't showing up the way I wanted to, that neon light wasn't on. So I had to figure out the way of which I could have the consistency and still maintain a relationship with money without completely detaching myself.
Mm-hmm.
And there was, you know, there's so many different ways that people can delve into it, but if they can just start with the first step of becoming aware of like where is their money coming from and where is their money going, like that's the first step. And then from there, then they can build that next piece, because whilst I say surrender, there was still a lot of action happening.
Yeah,
but I'm probably one of those people that shows too much action. So like I think that you got one or two different types of people. So I'll explain that a little bit more. It's like the people who like I'd put them in like the try hard category. Like they'd just go and go and go and go and go. And they would keep like trying the same thing and keep going, or they'd like find out from another person, like maybe try this. And so then they'll try that for a bit instead of actually just tuning in and slowing down a little bit and then like actually letting it land.
Yes.
And then you've got the other end of the spectrum where people are like, so that's more so the masculine side. And then you've got the other side, which is like way more feminine, where they're like, I'm just going to receive. I'm just going to surrender and receive. So I had to learn how to dance between both of those, because I was very great at showing action, yet it wasn't necessarily the type of action that then allowed me to receive.
Yeah.
So then allowing myself to step into the surrender and the slowdown then allowed me to step back into the action, then allowed me to surrender and slow down and receive. And that's how it went. And it was this dance. It was a step forward and a step sideways and a step forward and a step sideways. And then I noticed the patterns, and then I noticed of like, what did I used to do? Hindsight's a wonderful thing. I didn't know at the time. And so that's the beauty of it. That's the beauty of being in business. It's the best personal development journey you'll ever go on.
Yeah, oh my God, absolutely.
I just happened to do it at the same time as having tiny kids.
I'm actually super grateful to not have kids.
It's wild. Like, it's actually wild. How the heck did I get through the last decade? Like, it's been wild.
So what did you do in particular? I think it's pretty common for masculine work to be more automatic, more easy when you're trying to make money. Just by the way we're programmed in the society, it's just work more, put more hours in, make more money. So we're kind of programmed with that mentality. So it makes sense as that's what comes most automatically. How did you find bringing in that feminine flow and surrender into it? Because we both know when you're pushing too much, you're actually pushing it away.
Yes.
So exactly. What did you have to learn in yourself to allow that surrender piece to come in?
So it's less of the being pushy with my energy, and it was being pushy with myself. I would go as far to say like it was the way that I spoke to myself. There was like a harshness when I was in the masculine action-taking version, and there was a softness and a everything's going to be okay and I love myself regardless of what happens today. I know that I love myself. Like there was a lot more self-love happening when the surrender process was on. There was a lot more self-love and self-care happening. So doing more yoga, doing more meditation, less like that stage of my life, I didn't go running and I didn't do weights and I didn't do any of what I would have considered in the past a more masculine version of working out. So I only did yoga and I only did meditation. And I would say I did that for like a couple of years. Like I actually slowed myself right down for a couple of years. And that paid off. And yet it felt super slow to me. I was like, oh my God, when are things going to change? Yet if they were changing, they were just changing bit by bit. like everything, like our nervous system set up for the habits that we created throughout our life.
Yeah.
Of course, it takes time for us to create a new habit. So for me, I think it took me 2 years to actually feel like I'd actually meditated. Like I was so in my head for so long and I couldn't just sit there and meditate. I had to have someone talking to me in my ears. Like I had to do it.
Oh, you were one of those.
Yep. Holy monkey mind. I was like, this is boring. It's not beneficial. And I'd be like, okay, listen, just listen, breathe, breathe. Oh no, I can't do this. I've just got to go write this list. Like it was horrendous most mornings. And then about 2 years later, I was like, oh my gosh, I was just still for that whole time. I didn't do anything. And it was a miracle. It took me a really long time to like slow everything down. And I think it is like there's this certain level of safety in the body.
Yeah.
Once you feel once I finally felt safe in my body, then everything started to flow.
Yeah, I think that's super common in a lot of the women that I work with to neglect their body, neglect their needs. So I would go as much to say that 2 years is actually probably a main reason for the success that you see today, because now you're able to integrate it all and you're healthy enough to maintain that masculine energy as well. Because if you would actually lead yourself to burnout if you continuously, like if your body is saying, I need a rest, I need, like, I just need a break. And you're like, no, we must do this by this time. And you're doing that every single day without allowing yourself the time to flow and to meditate and to breathe.
Yeah.
It's not successful in the long run. And it's all about, like in my world, in your world, it's about long-term sustainable success, right? It's not about quickly making a buck. It's about making it sustainable for your whole entire life, which is
100%. Yeah. And it's like, there can be the fun, quick gains. Absolutely. Yeah. Like that, there's some really fun, like pop-up things that I'll create from time to time. And that still has purpose.
Yeah.
Like every single time that something's created these days, it has a purpose. It has an intention. And it may or may not be in alignment for someone to be listening to that. They're like, oh, really? Like, do I really have to put so much intentionality into things? No, you don't have to. It's just that when you are in alignment with things, it seems to work out so much easier. You can do it your way, by all means. And it's totally cool if somebody's like sitting there on the other end of this being like, don't really like what she's got to say. I like this bit. I don't like that bit. That's actually totally cool. Yeah. I actually really applaud you for having your own version. Go ahead and do it now.
Yeah.
Like I want you to own who you are. I want you to actually show the action and be able to go, okay, now it's me. It's me time. It's time to receive. Yeah. Like there's got to be that beautiful balance between both. And only you know when it's time for you to do that for you. Like back then, holy moly, like I really had to teach myself. Like every single day at 2 p.m. I had to lay flat, or else I'd end up dizzy by the end of the day. Like I was so exhausted. Like little kids, waking up in the middle of the night, running a business during the day, I was giving, 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 giving.
Yep.
And then it was very stark contrast how I actually felt. So then to rebuild that, again, like if we talk about true wealth creation, that actually doesn't happen unless there's a health there to support it.
Yes. So,
There was the fraudulent aspect of it for me at the time where I was seeing all these people in my clinic and yet I didn't feel like I was as healthy as I could be, mainly because I'd been pushing for so long, being everything to everybody. It was like, okay, cool. It's actually okay for me to take a 15-minute rest. It's actually okay for me to do yoga. It's actually okay for me to like allow my adrenals to calm down and get out of the adrenaline mode. I just remember there was one time when I was literally rushing around one morning. I would drop the kids at school or at daycare, actually. They were at daycare at that stage, and race home to get back home because I had a home clinic, just to get in, make sure that the floor was vacuumed and the place was neat before they'd come into the room. And I remember rushing around one morning and then this like little voice just said to me, slow down. And my whole nervous system just went, ah. And instead of rushing, I just started to walk. Like I literally used to sprint from one end of my house to the other. Rush, 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 rush. And I'd throw stuff around and be like, oh my God, I dropped that thing.
Yeah.
Like actually so unnecessary.
Yeah.
And I was doing it to myself.
Yeah, that's I used to be like that with driving, because I was driving to work, driving from work. I used to work in corporate. It was driving here, driving there, quickly rushing. I'm going to be late.
Yeah.
And then one day I just decided, you know what? I'm going to get there when I get there. And that total feeling just snapped, and just that bodily sensation of calm and surrender of going, I actually can't change much right now. Anyway,
yes.
I'm sitting in the car. I can't control the traffic.
Yep.
So as much as I can sit there and be stressed about it, or like vacuum as fast as you can, you're not going to save, maybe you'll save a few seconds really if you're doing it exhaustedly, if you're doing it calmly. So it's like, just relax and do the thing. And that's doing the flow in the masculine, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And when we talk about like the energetics of money, we talk about the energetics of self, we talk about feminine, masculine. There's no like one person who does it perfectly. Like, I just want to preface that like we're all doing the best of the resources we have. And all I ask of you is that you just become more aware of it. Like, if your body's screaming out at you to slow down, then slow the heck down.
Yeah.
Go have fun. And equally, if you're doing freaking nothing, get your ass up and do something. Like, the world doesn't stop. So get yourself up and do something. Stop binging Netflix. Stop scrolling in the hole of your phone.
Yeah.
Get up and do something, because you will feel so much better for it.
Yeah.
So like this, I'm talking to both ends of the spectrum here, because I know they exist.
I know, and I could hear them too listening. I'm like, if you're using this as your permission slip to, well, they told me to go do yoga and meditate. It's actually like both. Like, let's hone it back. It's actually both.
Absolutely.
So I was going to ask, my question was to tell me what you saw when you saw money, and you've told us that, right? So I've actually still got your picture. Can you tell us again? I want to picture it again.
So the picture, like my picture now of how I am with money.
Yeah.
So he's like this flamenco dancer. And so over time he's gone. So here's the evolution. So like the evolution was like this tough, stoic security guard guy with his arms crossed across his chest. And like, he didn't even look at me. And I used to have to like try and dance around him and like tap him on the shoulder and like try and play with him and do all these different things. And eventually he like uncrossed his arms. Then he started talking with me. Then he like took his jacket off. And then he started to walk with me. And then all of a sudden, like, he turned into this flamenco dancer. Like, I've got this beautiful red dress. So like, think of the dancing emoji. Yes. So I'm like her. And he is like this hot Spanish looking guy with his shirt off. And we flamenco dance together.
So what's great. His name? Does he have a name?
No. It's his money. He's just money. He has an energy about him.
Yep.
It's very, yeah, it's sexy and amazing.
Sexy and amazing. I love that. And so let's wrap up this beautiful, beautiful conversation. And, you know, maybe give us both ends of the spectrum. What is one thing that you would say to money right now, if he could hear you?
Oh, I thank you and I love you.
Mm.
Yeah. Really simple. And this is the thing, guys, like, actually it is that simple. As money is here, as much as we're in service to money, money is here to serve us. Like, it's an exchange, it's a reciprocation, it's a circulation. It's like, if you were to draw a circle, money's like a circle. It's always beginning and never ending.
Yeah, it's a relationship.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's so beautiful. Is there anything that you would have to say to anybody that has just decided to make the change, that's going through that hurdle right now? What is one thing that you would have to say to them?
Be consistent. Like, show up a little bit more tomorrow than what you did today.
Mm.
So that you build your own self-belief. And if you don't have self-belief yet, it's okay. It is definitely available. It's available to you, and you can actually borrow it from other people.
Yeah.
And so if you're looking for more self-belief so that you can have a better relationship with money, then fill your Instagram feed with people who you can borrow belief from, rather than the people who trigger you and make you feel emotionally detached from money. Rather than that, I want you to step in and be like, here's my moving vision board. Like, I want you to step into your life and say yes. And I want you to step into your life and say, there's always more. There's plenty more where that came from.
Yeah.
Like, this is the thing. If you're just starting out, borrow the belief until you fully believe it in yourself.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that was amazing. Thank you so much, Amy. I've loved, loved, loved this chat. And it's been great getting an insight into your relationship with money, your love affair.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been such a pleasure being here. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for listening. This has been Money Love Affair, the podcast. Again, I'm your host, Jessica Massion. It has been a pleasure having you on. And if you're ready to take a step into abundance, to change your money story forever and change the way you've been doing things and stepping into that life of wealth and achieving your dreams now, head to the link in my bio on Instagram, Jessica Marie Massion, and see what offers I've currently got up. Abundance Codes is currently live and you can jump in and start the modules, start the daily tasks and change your story now. I'm super excited to see you there. Hope you enjoyed this episode and we'll see you next time.